Welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast, the legal English podcast for non-native English speakers that helps you improve your English listening, improve your legal English vocabulary, and build your knowledge of American legal culture. Welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Edelson, and today we're continuing our series of interviews with multilingual lawyers. Our guest today is Marco Giordano from Italy. Marco is a trainee lawyer with Baker Tilly in Italy, and he's also earning a master's in law from Luisa Guido Carlo University in Rome. Marco is also a graduate of the Lunza Law School in Rome. He was awarded a Global Law Fellows Program scholarship in 2019, and through that scholarship, he studied for 6 months in the United States at St. John's University School of Law in New York City. He's also audited courses at Fordham Law School, and he's our guest today. How are you, Marco?
Hello, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm very, very happy, and I am honored to be here today.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you with us, Marco. So, right now, it's around 9 p.m. in Italy?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. And when we were speaking before the interview began, you said you were still working until 9 o'clock at night. Is that right?
Yeah, I was just solving a couple of issues for a case that I'm involved with. So it required an extensive analysis of the documents. So I was still on the job. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it. So you're working hard as the 2021 ends. We're recording this right before the new year starts. Can you tell us what does it take to get admitted as an attorney in Italy?
Yes. The first step is to graduate in law, and then there is a required period of 18 months of trainership that you have to go to a law firm in which a lawyer follow you, and you have to follow some cases, but study the cases and also following the court. But you are not able to discuss the case in front of the judge because you are not still a lawyer. But you do all the things that a lawyer does for the job. So basically, after these 18 months, you are eligible to be admitted to the bar. And after an exam, two exams actually, one oral and the second one, it's another oral, but they changed the settings of the exam because of the COVID, because before 2020, the exam was basically a written exam for the first part and an oral exam for the second part. So right now, currently, is oral for the first part and oral for the second part.
I see. And once you pass that oral bar examination and you've already completed the 18 months of training, then you can be admitted as an attorney in Italy?
Yes. Yes.
You're currently earning a master's degree in law in addition to your work as a trainee lawyer, is that correct?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm specializing in white collar crimes, or better, if you will, corporate crimes, and it's something very interesting for me because this master allows me to combine two of my passions. One is a criminal law and the other one is corporate law. This is a field very new for the Italian legal system because we didn't have the corporate liability in our tradition. It was something new that came up with the European Union and with a new sense of justice in the system. So for me, this field is, especially now in this particular moment where the globalization is a key point and where companies, they play a very big role in our society. It's important to understand how they act and how they commit crimes, because sometimes it happens. And this particular sector is new because our criminal code, our criminal tradition is founded on the person and the behavior of the person. So the problem was that the company could not be liable under our constitution for criminal charges because of our tradition, our principles into the criminal system.
But now Italy has legislation that can impose criminal liability on the corporate entity too.
Exactly. Since 2001, we have this decree that basically set up all the norms for which a company can be liable, and establish a new principle of liability that it's called a culpability. It's an organizational culpability.
So this new legislation that imposes corporate criminal liability, is it being used in Italy?
Yes. We have to distinguish geographically because we have to look at the companies. And in some areas of Italy, the legislative decree, it's not used so much because the companies, they don't have the economic value, or they could not commit those crimes that the legislative decree embraced. So what I'm saying is that in the north, for example, Milan, you have a lot of proceedings involving companies. In Rome, you have a lot of proceedings involving companies. In the south, it's not so common, especially where I came from. So basically what you see is that companies that operates internationally, even nationally, are more, let's say, under the spotlight of this legislative decree.
So is this law being imposed more in the northern areas of Italy because that's where the larger corporations are?
Let's say that partially is true. In the sense that in the companies, the size of the companies matter, and the impact of the company matters. So we can say that proceedings like that, so involving a corporate liability in my own town, are very rarely. But if you move up from Rome to the north, companies are more likely to be involved in this type of proceedings. But also you have to look in specific areas in Italy where you have, facilities or industries that operates in certain fields. And if you look it up, there are very famous proceedings regarding this type of liability.
I see. And so when you came to the United States, to St. John's, were you also focusing on criminal and corporate law?
Yes, yes, it was. In fact, I followed two courses there. One was criminal proceeding, and the other one was constitutional law, to understand the approach of a common law country to those type of issues, and even to understand better the criminal proceeding and the investigation behind the criminal proceeding, to see how the proceedings evolves, and in a way that you can understand how to prevent crimes or how to prevent an investigation. And it is very, very, very relevant.
I see. And so were you comparing both the substance and the procedure of criminal law between the United States and Italy or other civil law jurisdictions?
Yes, I combined and I did a comparison between Italy and United States, with a particular focus on the right to counsel and how it's important to have a counsel into the criminal proceeding, and how it's important to understand what the accused are. I think the crucial part is between the pretrial and the investigation. There it's a critical zone in which you can understand how the proceeding will go. And this, I believe, this is an analysis that can be that valuable, even for not only for a person, but even for a company involved, I don't know, in fraud or embezzlement.
So you are comparing the right to counsel at the pretrial stage in the United States and in Italy?
I compared the way a common law country versus a civil law country approach to a criminal proceeding, and what are the principles behind the criminal proceeding? What are the rights of the person, or in this case, or the company involved in the matter? And for that reason, what really, really took my attention was the fact that the corporal liability was something already inside the common law system, was already there. The vicarious liability was something established already. In the civil law, and especially in Italy, was something new, because we founded our system on the famous sentence from the Roman law, that was societas delinquere non potest, that means the companies cannot commit crimes. And there was something solid that our system embraced since 2001, until 2001. And the break point was 2001, because there was established the corporate liability. So until 2001, there were some case law about it, and there were some issues about it, but there wasn't a law that established a corporate liability, expressis verbis.
Ah, I see. Okay. And that, and the change to the law, the reason for this change to the law was because of the European Union?
Let's say that it's true, because European Union was the first push. But in Italy, some authors, even some lawyers, some judges, they understand the problems behind this gap. And the problem behind bigger companies that they weren't liable for certain crimes. And we had a history from the 70s, 80s, where not only companies, but also banks committed some crimes, and the law was certainly focused on the person, not on the organization at all.
So now that you're starting this new position at Baker Tilly, are you going to be specializing in a particular field?
I'm specializing in white collar crimes, but in a prevention way, it's more like a compliance. To prevent the proceedings, but also I will be involved in everyday deals of the company, like M&A or compliance in general. But let's say that my field will be on this particular matter.
That's really exciting. So you're going to be able to work exactly where your passion lies with both corporate law and criminal law.
Yes. And especially one of the things that I like the most is the fact that I can work in English. I can work on an international field with different clients. And I will try to also develop more knowledge on the drafting of contracts in a foreign language. So this is a good opportunity for me.
That's terrific. I was going to ask you. So it sounds like you're going to be using English a lot in this position.
Yes. Because it was something that captured my attention. English, and I cultivated since I was a child. For that reason, 2008, I went to Dublin to understand better the language, and then my focus, my goal during my school of law was to study in the United States, to understand the judicial system, to understand how to use the language in the appropriate way, how to discuss a case in front of a foreign judge, and how to think as an American lawyer.
What do you find to be the most helpful strategy to develop your legal English skills?
I believe that what helped me was the fact that I read a lot. And I try to speak, to understand the language, but also the use of the words. I read a lot about criminal proceedings there, criminal trials, like for example the O.J. Simpson trial. So I was always curious about those aspects of the language.
So what did you read? Were you reading newspaper articles or some other source?
Newspaper articles, books, or even cases. And I read a lot about about the O.J. Simpson case through the book of one of these of his lawyer, and or for example, reading cases or opening statements of the case was really helpful, and for me was interesting too.
Oh, that's great! So you would read the opening statements, and that was how you built up a lot of legal English vocabulary.
Yes, the closing statements too, the closing argument too, and even the cross examination. That was the part that really thrilled me, because it was a part that you really can understand how to present a question to a person, and how you present that question determines the way the witness will answer. So you have to be careful how to present the question, otherwise the witness understands what you want to hear, and you can be in troubles.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, they say if you're a criminal lawyer, or if you're a lawyer at a trial, don't ever ask a question if you don't already know the answer.
Exactly. I assisted through my period of almost 2 years, a lot of cases, a lot of trials of organized crime. And one thing that you always find are witnesses or people that they call it, they whistleblow on somebody else. So that's very critical moment for a lawyer, because when you cross examine that person, you have to be very, very careful.
Oh, that's interesting. Did you attend any trials in the United States while you were attending law school here?
One was at the federal building. Was involved. It was a case about fraud, and it was an interesting one. But I have to be honest, one of the most interesting one that I attended in the United States was one case about diamonds, and it was a civil trial, but helped me to understand some aspects of the criminal proceeding, because it was interesting how because it was about an auction, how the auction worked back then, and how some other subjects get into the trial, even if it's a civil proceeding.
It's sometimes even in a civil case, there can be matters that have criminal implications.
Yes.
So what was the best advice you ever received for studying law?
Probably the best advice was that you have to look for the details. You cannot deal with a case if you don't grasp every detail of the case. Because if you don't know the case perfectly, you won't be able to deal with matter that you wouldn't be thinking of. So you have to be aware that you need a lot of effort to understand the case, each words, each document, to be able to deal with issues that you didn't think.
That's a really good point. If you don't know the details, then you don't know what you might be missing.
Yes, because the trial is very different from a negotiation or let's say a mediation that it comes out of the court. The trial is something that shocks you in the way that you have to be ready to understand the issue And if you are not prepared for it, you have to deal with it. And this is something that I believe is one of the most important thing in law in general, because if you know what can happen in the trial, somehow you can prevent, or at least you can understand some moves in order to prevent the criminal proceedings or whatever proceeding it is to happen. And it is my view, of course, for my field, for a company that is involved in a proceeding. If you understand how the proceeding will work, you have a better chances to avoid the proceeding or to try to find another way to solve the matter.
That's really great advice, and I'm sure that's something that's going to be really helpful for you as you start your legal career at Baker Tilly. Thank you very much, Marco.
Thank you, Daniel, and it was a privilege and honor to be here today.